7:34, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. We were going to talk with Fox News Radio's Evan Brown about Hurricane Helene, but it's now Tropical Storm Helene. But Evan's still with us. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
It's just because it's a tropical storm doesn't mean it's not nasty, right? What's going on?
That is very much the case. And it is now over Georgia and is now weakened to tropical storm status. But it spent many hours as a hurricane battering the entire west coast of Florida yesterday. And it has done some significant damage, even to the extent we don't fully know just yet. But I can tell you that there has been storm surge flooding from Fort Myers all the way up to north of Tampa Bay. In some cases, it was rather catastrophic. I do know there has been some loss of life. I don't know a tally on that yet. I can tell you that as of just a couple of hours ago, and again, these numbers do change over, you know, every couple hours here, but there were about 1.3 million power customers in Florida.
Ooh,
who were out.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect that number will decrease dramatically as the day goes on, and as the power, you know, we've got, you know, something like 30, 40,000 power linemen already here in the state that were staged beforehand, so they're going to get to work very quickly. And as long as they can access where the damage is on the grid, they can get things back up pretty quickly. It means the roads need to be accessible. So obviously before that, the local towns need to go clear the roads and whatnot. But already in Georgia, 800,000 or so power outages. To give you the scope of this thing, the storm is dropping lots of torrential rain in the Carolinas, prompting flash flood warnings. Even though the storm is technically in Georgia, because we technically put it wherever the eye is. Remember, the storm is very, very, very large.
Big one,
actually.
Yeah.
At one point, it was 800 miles wide. I'm not quite sure how what it is now, but it was pretty big.
Front end of the storm, I know there was a tornado, and apparently a tornado in Georgia that killed a couple of people there. But it'll be a while before you can get an accurate count on that sort of thing. How do you measure surge, storm surge like that? Is it just something you eyeball, or you got to?
Well, there are means of doing this, but ultimately the surge is the water that gets pushed in from the sea into land, and it's on top of regular tides. So, you know, we have a tide that's in the evening, right, at the high tide. And then at this time of the year in Florida, we have this thing called king tides, which means the natural tides that happen anyway are higher than they are at any other point in the year. And then we put the surge on top. We put the surge on top of the king tide, so it's a kind of like a cumulative effect. But just for instance, you know, we were predicting, or not we, but the National Hurricane Center were predicting 15 to 20 feet of surge on top of high king tide in the Florida Big Bend, and they probably got some of that. Now that's a very sparsely populated area, but you have to remember the storm was riding up the whole coast the whole time. And even though we saw maybe 5 or 3 feet of surge in places like Tampa Bay or Sarasota, that was on top of their king tide, which may have been 3 or so. So you're getting about 6 feet of water coming inland. And just think about 3 feet for a moment. I don't know how tall you are. How tall are you?
6 feet.
Okay, so up to halfway up your body.
Halfway up, yeah, about almost to the waist. Yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want to be in that.
No.
You know? I mean, it's not heated clear crystal blue swimming pool water. It's dank seawater that's carrying with it everything it's run over, so dirt, debris, wildlife, and live electrical wires. So it's not a good thing to be in, and it does cause extreme damage. In fact, in Fort Myers, in Hurricane Ian, a television and radio station in a single building, radio station happens to be our Fox News affiliate in Fort Myers, it got flooded out completely, had like 3 feet of water in it.
Huh.
It had water in it again last night. So, I don't know if it was as bad, but it enough that I think they're off the air or they're out of their building in a different location or something like that. So, and that's just one place of work. I mean, imagine it's happening, all these homes and everything. And, you know, the Florida Big Bend, like I said, sparsely populated, but the whole west coast of Florida is incredibly densely populated. So, you know, we have a lot of, I suspect there will be a big significant impact here, one way or the other.
Tell us about winds, sustained winds. How fast?
I think the fastest sustained winds that they were able to clock were 140 miles an hour, which makes it a Category 4 storm.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you feel that at all times. A sustained wind could be measured at 2 or 3 minutes long, right? Yeah. And it could just be in one little small area of the storm. So people, I think, have this expectation that 140 mile an hour winds means the whole thing's at 140 miles an hour. That's not what's going to happen. You're not going to feel a constant 140 miles an hour. You may feel less. You may feel even more at that at some point, especially with gusts. But but at some point, if they are able to clock a sustained wind at that speed, then that's what it is. But it kind of doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if 130 is no less damaging than 140, and again, we get concerned to think a bit more with that storm surge. And category numbers of storms are just based on wind speed, and I think that they don't necessarily fully communicate the depth or the drasticness of a given storm. So I think we spend a little too much time worrying about things like eyewall location and category number. And, I think that this once again proves that eyewall location doesn't necessarily mean places else are going to be unaffected. They most absolutely were. And category number doesn't delineate things with storm surge, for which there's whole separate warnings for and everything. So, this is how we deal with this. Obviously, it's I think it's imperfect, but it's best we got. And hopefully people are just simply dealing with the emergency management aspect of this as opposed to the cool meteorology. And, they listened to their emergency management officials locally, and they got out of Dodge when it was time.
And we have people from here who are down there. We have some first responders. Folks from the Red Cross volunteers have come down to your area.
We're happy to help for that. Out. Grateful, yeah.
And, I was talking about a window, that kind of wind. They could a tree limb and a power line don't stand up that well to that kind of wind.
No, they don't. And it's funny. My the roof on my house, which we had to redo after a hurricane in 2014, the roof is rated for 185 miles an hour as Miami-Dade hurricane codes. I said that's great, but it's not rated for a tree trunk traveling at 185 miles an hour that hits the roof.
A missile.
So that there's a difference, right? The tiles are guaranteed to stay on and be secured to the house, and the truss is going to stay secured to the house at 185 miles an hour, but something hitting it at 185 is not going to, they're going to have damage.
All right.
So that's how that works.
All right, sir. Hey, thanks for being with us. Appreciate the information this morning. And that's Fox News Radio's Evan Brown, live from Miami with Steve and Ted. Coming up, the Wichita Business Journal update this morning. Spirit AeroSystems pushes back on furlough speculation. That's on the way with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.